Hi. So yesterday we learned that the command that Moshe received put a chiyuv. It said Klal Yisrael had to do something. We may have thought, that it was an automatic that they were going to be redeemed. And as Rabbi Leitag said, God once again gave Moshe a double mission, to command Paroi to let the Jews go, and to command Bnei Yisroel to develop into a people worthy of redemption. Rabbi Leitag asks the question, okay, I want to know what pray tell they were doing that was so terrible. And he says, I'm going to refer to Parsha Achrei Mos, the Parsha that we read on Yom Kippur, where it says, Hashem says to the Bnei Yisroel, do not follow the corrupt lifestyle of the Egyptians. And again, the key word he uses is Ani Hashem. And we pointed out yesterday, and Ani Hashem is like Anoichi in Yeseret, a Dibris, etc. And it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to Bnei Yisroel, and tell them, do not act as Egyptians do. Do not follow their customs. Instead, follow my laws, because Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I am God, and I am their God. The introduction, we know, if we look at it, is then followed by a long list of forbidden sexual relationships, the Arayot. Right? The things that are forbidden, which had become a common denominator, the way the Egyptians practiced. Right? We know that an Egyptian pharaoh married his sister. Right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's call for tshuva most likely meant Bnei Yisroel eliminating whatever vestiges of this sexual immorality had seeped into their way of life. He says this not only helps us understand the phrase, right? Right? It says in Shmos, Veloshamu el Moshe, they did not listen, they didn't adhere to Moshe. And he says that's going to explain a lot of the background until Har Sinai. Hashem had originally planned that Bnei Yisroel were going to actually travel for that 3-day, seminar at Har Sinai after Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? Instead, it's a 6-week period of time, all of what we call the Omer, until the 50th day on Shavuot. He says, why? Why didn't they start with a 3-day seminar very quickly? And he says, Yecheskel says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved the Jewish people, they were still undeserving. And he did it because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's great name. But there was unworthiness on their part. And so the redemption process had to be slowed down till they could improve. Right? And therefore, they needed a period of time, you would say, for reformation, for changing. And get them on the road, he says, before they leave Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, to bring the Korban Pesach, to take the deity of the Egyptians and slaughter it before them, right? And we also know they had to do Bris Milah. All those who hadn't done it had to do it. Then they travel, it says, 3 days, a 3-day journey in the desert, and they came to Morah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu began to give them some mitzvos. And they were given a chance now to accept things they had yet to have accepted. Hashem said, "Im shomoa tishma." I said, right? If you listen, maybe it was Moshe, although he uses, right? If you listen to the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you do what is upright, you listen to his mitzvot, then all the afflictions that I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, brought upon Egypt, and which Ryutag puts into brackets, and which you deserve to suffer as well, will not happen. I will not bring them on you, because again, Ani Hashem Roifecha. I am a Kadosh Baruch Hu, I am your healer. Immediately after they till they arrived at Har Sinai, Hashem again demanded a prerequisite for accepting the Torah, a pledge of allegiance. Again, in Tishmoa Tishmu, you got it if you listen to my mitzvahs. This time, B'nai Yisrael, we know, passed the test with flying colors. And he says, I will suggest that once they pass the test of Ani Hashem Elokeichem, they could be given a Aseres Adibris, beginning with Anoichi Hashem Elokecha and Lo Yelecha. Now that you've reached this point, you've got to totally reject the Getchkes, the deity in the Mitzrayim. Ani Hashem was the comment, and Lo Yeh would be the practical application, being two sides of the same coin. If you're believing in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's no way you have any room whatsoever to have other gods. He says, I'm going to point out one other thing. At the Seder, we have the Koisho Eliyahu. Eliyahu HaNavi is sent to our Seder. We open the door, Shfoicha Masra El Agoyim, right? We say to God, pour out your wrath on all our enemies, Agoyim, and we invite Eliyahu into our home. He says, this is the night that we are commemorating, try to relive to the extent we can, what happened in Mitzrayim. However, he says, before we pick up with Hallel and Nirtzah, we invite Eliyahu. And he says, this is probably due to the final pasuk in Malachi, which says, behold, I'm sending you, Eliyahu HaNavi, before the great and awesome day of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who will return the hearts of sons to their fathers, and the hearts of fathers to their sons, and lest, so I should not come and smite the land instead. In other words, he says, we're talking about the Bias Goyal. We're talking about Moshiach coming. the final Golus. And he says, we're being reminded that Eliyahu comes to teach us to do tshuva, as they say, to take the Golus out of the Yid and the Yid out of Golus. Just as we have now seen at the first Golus in Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put the task of tshuva as a critical ingredient in redemption, right? It would happen again. He says it has to happen. He says, why, pray tell, should the Jewish people be redeemed, right, if we don't keep the Torah, which is our mission? He says, this continual pattern is designed so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can instill in Jewish people that Torah and mitzvot becomes their natural way of life. We're told in the, I think it's Shani and Shlishi, who are on the Moshe. We're going to give you the genealogy of Aaron and Moshe, who Hashem said to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, according to their hosts. These are they that spoke to Paro, the king of Mitzrayim, to bring the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. These are Moshe and Aaron. Rabbi Sholem Rosner writes, the Parsha starts with a conversation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe, and then it interrupts this conversation to give us the lineage, the forefathers of Moshe and Aaron. And then we return back to the story at hand. And it seems that this pasuk seems to be a reminder of where we left off. It says, this is Moshe and Aaron. And the next pasuk repeats the phrase, but then says, who Moshe and Aaron? In the first instance, it's Aaron and Moshe, and now it's Moshe and Aaron. And Chazal tell us that their names were interchangeable to teach us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving Eidos that they were equals. Moshe did not tower over Aaron or vice versa. He quotes Rav Yosef Soloveitchik and he says, Moshe and Aaron were two different types of leaders. And Jewish leadership needed both aspects. He calls one the Moshe Rabbeinu aspect and the other one the Aaron HaKohen aspect. He says, Soloveitchik says, sometimes this happens. We need two people to do this, Moshe and Aaron. At other times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu may give us a leader who has both characteristics in them. Right? He said, let's remember, Moshe represents Malchus leadership, teaching, and Aaron represents the Kohen Gadol, right? And Moshe has a lesson to teach based on kingship, and Aaron based on service, being a Kohen Gadol. Their temperaments differed. He said, we have Kedusha which is the saint, and we have Malchut, the king, who may be the teacher. Both were enlightened minds. They had molded characters, and they lived and spread the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nevertheless, they had a different approach. In objective, they had the exact same objective, to glorify HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to make Klal Yisrael his nation. He says, Moshe addressed himself to the mind of the Jewish people. He's the one who taught Torah. He engaged the intellect. He taught how to analyze, how to classify, how to clarify, and how to give halacha over from door to door, from generation to generation, how to protect the Mesorah. He says, we had Moshe, we had the Rambam, we had the Vilna Gaon, we had Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, and we've had Gedolim in every generation. He says, the saint teacher deals with the same text, but his focus somehow seems to be on what's between the lines, the invisible, the intangible. He calls it Nefesh HaTorah, the soul of the Torah. Aaron led Klal Yisrael through his heart. He was the emotional leader. The king, Moshe, inspired the minds, enhanced the intellect. But you cannot be a total intellect. Aaron follows the exact same halacha as Moshe Rabbeinu. But he is able to take the text and shower and teach its emotional content. He says someone like Aaron can turn on the Jewish heart, can set them aflame. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us that we have a sensitive neshama, and the sensitive neshama seeks the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. That neshama needs a rav, needs a gadol, needs a leader like Moshe. And we could say that Moshe was a Rosh Yeshiva, but Aaron, maybe he was like a Hasidish Rebbe. That feeling, right? The soul. Moshe, we know, was kaved peh, right? He always said, I've got a speaking impediment. And therefore, while he could teach the Torah clearly, and there was no impediment in hearing his learning, Moshe's tongue didn't have the skill for small talk, for easy socializing, and for extensive negotiations, as things go. Aaron had these abilities. Aaron's lips, right, were able to reach the heart. He had a style that with his warmth, he could persuade people, could bring people close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the gefil, with the warmth. He was called the Kohen, which means he was the minister of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Rosner says, in today's world, many of those who are Rashi Yeshivas, who you would say, right, I would say from the Litvish way, right, have begun and have shown qualities of a Rebbe. They have warmth. They have feeling. And we know the many stories of Rav Moshe Feinstein dealing with people. Today's Rebbe, right, is the paradigm to his Hasidim of the modern day saint, but so many of the Rebbeim are tremendous, tremendous Talmidei Chachamim, right? We have their Torah we can look at. I remember Herschel Baum told me, Rabbi Olbom a while ago, quoted a vort said both by the Satmar Rebbe and one of the great Litvisher Rosh Yeshivas. And he said, don't be surprised that they both said the same thing. There's only one Torah. Their approach may be different, but they have the same goal. Rav Soloveitchik says, for Yiddishkeit to be successful, we need this duality. We need the intellectual experience, and we need the warmth, the feeling to draw our souls. That's why, Hu Moshe v'Hu Aaron. Moshe and Aaron approached Paro with both of these personas. Right, they were the ones chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to lead because as a duality, they could do it. Just trying to see the verse that I have here. Okay, this is something said, lessons from the name of a plague. The Torah gives names to the Makos and describes the nature. Dam was blood, Sardea was frogs. But when we get to the wild animals, the Torah names the plague Orov, mixture. Why wasn't it called Chayot Rod, wild animals roaming about? Instead, the Torah describes just an element of this maka. It was a mixture of animals. And what's significant about that detail? That that's the name that's given to this plague. He quotes of Yosef Misalant, the bear Yosef, that the mixture highlights the miraculous nature of the plague. Every animal requires a different climate. A polar bear, a camel, a crocodile all need different, right, physical climates. How is it possible that every single animal that was wild came to Egypt and survived? How did the polar bear flock in the desert? This was a major part of the Nes. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave each animal somehow a feeling of its own climate so that they could exist and do what they did to greatest extent.
And didn't give, like, if it was a polar bear, then he gave him ice around it also.
Right, either he gave him ice or it felt like ice, you know. It's, you know, I mean, that's right. He says, there are midrashim that says a polar bear walked with ice and the camel had sun and they talked to each other side by side, whatever that means. But he says, let's look at another pasuk. Umolu batei Mitzrayim esha'arayim v'gam ha'adama asher hem aleihem. The houses of the Egyptians will be full of swarms of animals, as well as the land on which they appear. He says, in other words, the animals came from all the different geographical areas God created, right? And their habitat needs came with them. They actually, he says, say what Zabel just said, they actually traveled with a piece of their surroundings. The polar bear had ice. The penguin had ice. Another thing is, Hinini mam tirkeis mata borad, kaved ni oida shel oida kama mitzrayim, v'mi l'pin hayoyim, usta alata. Right? He says, I'm going to tell you something else. He says, in the next, it says, tomorrow at this time, I'm going to cause it to rain. You're going to have a very grievous, difficult hail, which you've never seen in the Mitzrayim, neither from the day it was founded until today. Rashi says when he said tomorrow at this time, Moshe made a scratch on a wall, and he said, the sun will hit the wall at a specific time, and as soon as that happens, there'll be hail. Why did he scratch this? He says, since when have we ever seen the sun out in its right, in its glory, and exactly 1 second later, there's hail. There's no darkening of the sky. There's no warning. Darn. Right? Once Moshe's sundial was put into effect, right, the hail started. This miraculous hail began right then and there. He says, we've got to look at the psukim. We've got to analyze their very words in order to be able to highlight the truly miraculous aspects of the makos. And if we think for a moment, we can clearly see how only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have done this, did this, right? And then it will give us greater question is, okay, if that's the case, how did Paro survive? And we'll try to deal with that tomorrow. Okay, tomorrow is going to be the last day of Shir until after the Yeshiva weekend, which is probably, I think, a week next Wednesday when we'll be back. But tomorrow I'm giving Shir. Okay.